What is going on, everyone? This is Josh here for Mudcast. Thanks for joining us again. This will be the second episode in the week. Those of you that listened to the first episode, thank you. I think it came out on Monday, Tuesday morning, probably, is when it you probably listened to it. And just want to come back with another episode, and just because I'd been away on vacation for a little while, like I mentioned. And a lot has obviously gone down. I touched on the kickoffs promo. I don't have actually touched on the Rising Stars yet. So talk a little bit about that, a little bit about the kickoffs and how that's, you know, it's just about to end. I know that they're taking the cards out of the Mutt daily objectives. But I think the solos will be there to stay. It doesn't look like there's any expiration date on the solos. So we'll definitely talk about that. I got a few things to get to here, as well as talk about, you know, what it's going to look like, what the episodes are going to look like into the future. Thanks again for joining us. If you haven't already, please like, give it a 5-star review, and you know, leave a review if you're feeling extra ambitious. You know, just kicking off here, we'll, you know, no pun intended, we'll talk a little bit more about the kickoff promo, and you know, this really seems to be, I don't know. I mean, I think it's one of those things. I know that sometimes they come out with these promos where you get a card every single day if you do the Mutt objectives. Unfortunately for myself, I was away for most of the time that this promo was going on, so I didn't get too many. But I think there were like a decent amount of, you know, this promo has been out since probably the beginning of the Mutt season, which means that it's been around for almost 2 weeks, and you know, that's 14 or so Mutt objectives that you can get to. So I think that, in, you know, of course, if 14, if you can complete them every single day, which is a little tough but not impossible, you know, that's going to give you 14 gold cards. So if you haven't checked into the sets, 14 gold cards of course gives you a Madden elite player. So in addition to doing the solos, which I believe you get, you know, I've mixed some of the NAT daily objective golds with some of the ones that I get from the solos, but I believe that you can get a 90 overall player just from doing the solos and maybe like a few daily objectives. So that's not too bad. Where we are in Mutt, I know that the champions, the Luke Kuechly, the Gronk, the Antonio Brown are 92 overall. The Eddie George just came out as a 92 overall, and it looks like there's, you know, at this point there's just 93 limited editions. So the Steve Atwater, of course, is a 93 overall. I know a lot of people are saying that, in it's probably true, he is the best strong safety in the game right now. So they moved him over. I think last year, most of the time, he was a free safety, which really interfered with a lot of people. They had to make choices between, you know, Sean Taylor and him. Seemed like he was getting upgrades throughout the entire year. So they must have him locked into a pretty good contract. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, is the 92 kickoff set worth it? So I was checking at some of the prices, as I mentioned in the last podcast, that they're all right around 200 to 210. And I actually have a friend that does a lot of the, he does a lot of market talk. He actually has a YouTube channel that does a lot of market talk. And, you know, he'll go into a lot more depth than I will on this. But in terms of, you know, is the set worth it? You know, you're talking about, you're getting essentially a 90 overall player. You're getting one of these 200,000 players. So essentially, if you have to start from brand new, what you have to do to get to purchase the players, it would be 800,000. for just one of those 92 players. And now you get all 90 players back. So this is one of the things they started last year. A lot of people have liked that they didn't have this before. A lot of times what you have to do in order to get the boss of one of these sets, you have to put in these players. They're pretty close to the boss. So for example, 90s, and then the bosses for this promo are 92 overall. So you get 2+ overall, but you don't get those players back at all. So last year, and I think I mostly started around the most feared promo was the first one that they were doing, that basically you got all the players back in AT. So if you did that Randy Moss set, or you did the most feared strength Ray Lewis set, you get all the players back that you put into the set. That now, that's the set for Ray Lewis, not the sets they're putting in for the players to get Ray Lewis, but you got all those players back in AT. And it's a nice little way to be able to at least be able to use those players in a team, and you have 5 usable players rather than 4 that you have to put in the set are gone, and then just 1 guy that's usable. So I think it was a really good addition. A lot of people liked it. I think that got even better this year. And the reason being is because the fact that every single player, so a lot of people complain about NAT players, but you know, this year, with the fact that these NAT players still give you training, those 4 NAT players will add up to about 4,400 in training points. So again, there is another YouTuber out there, Papa's a Stranger, that you're probably familiar with, that put out a video that talked about how you can quick sell all those cards, all 4 cards that you put into the set that you're getting back. Now you go ahead and quick sell them. So you put them in the set, plus you're able to quick sell them. So you get double value out of them. And that adds up to getting approximately the training that you need to get in order to skip over one of those limited time cards. So the Kareem Hunt, the Richard Sherman, the, you know, whatever it might be, you get the points to be able to skip over them. Now, this only applies to the limited time cards that power-ups. So for example, if you want the Dont'a Hightower, which I did, he doesn't have a power-up at the beginning of the year, and the reason I say that is, you know, who knows what EA is going to change, but you know, he didn't have a power-up at the beginning of the year, and when his limited time primetime performance card came out, that's it. You know, you have to get that primetime performance card. So that's, you know, this goes into a little bit larger conversation, which I think that they're, once they, as they're testing these power-ups out, and you know, you'll see that there's a large discrepancy in what some teams have for power-ups compared to others. But as they test these power-ups out, and they see, you know, how people use them, I think that's going to expand. So I don't know if it's going to expand this year. You know, I know there's a few of the creators that have talked about the fact that, you know, when you do something with a game, you either try and put a small little fix there, or you go back and you rework it and you completely change the system. And that does take more time. So I don't know exactly if, by the way, I know Kralo had mentioned something about that. And he says him a lot better than me. So definitely, I'd follow him for more information on that. I think I said it on another podcast, actually. But anyway, I don't think that they're going to, you know, they're not going to add, I'm just going to say, they're not going to add power-ups this year to any team. But, you know, the thing is, the way that, you know, power-ups are successful, and the way that people are building teams, and it seems like there's a lot of people, you know, even YouTubers that, you know, want to have that flexibility to be able to try out new cards that wouldn't normally use power-ups. It seems like there's a lot of them that are getting into these new power-ups. As they become more popular, I think that we'll start to see more people, like more cards coming out next year. So, for example, you know, you have some of these guys that, some of these teams that have maybe 1 or 2, not 1, sorry, 2 or 3. And some teams have, you know, 7, 8, maybe even 9, depending on the team. And this is before the legends even come out. So, you know, next year, what you might see is you might see teams, instead of having 2 or 3 and the top ones having, you know, 9 or so, you might see the lower teams having 5. So you think of a team like the Browns, that I think they had Kevin Zeitler or Joe Petonio. I know they had a lineman. They had, forgetting who their other power-ups were, but I know they had Jarvis Landry and someone else. But essentially, they only had 3. But they didn't have, as far as I remember, they didn't have Myles Garrett. They didn't have, you know, let's say Duke Johnson or, you know, even Baker Mayfield, for example. So Baker Mayfield didn't get a, you know, they're obviously not going to have a card that's also got a rookie premiere, because people will just be able to essentially power their cards up through rookie premiere. And also people, it would take away from the advantage of having that rookie premier card, which those cards are essentially, the rookie premier cards are essentially free power-ups. You know, you saw a couple come out this week. You know, I think Desmond Ward got a card last week as an 84 overall. This week, Derwin James, the safety for the Chargers, got 81 overall. You know, there's a few already out there that's got some pretty good power ups. Obviously Saquon Barkley's got the 88 card. So people would be probably a little upset if those sets, you know, cross streams out, as it were. And I mean, rightfully so, like EA probably doesn't want to do that, cause it's two different promos and they'd be, encroaching on each other. So besides the rookie premieres, you could do people like Baker Mayfield. You're not going to do Sam Darnold, but you could do Baker Mayfield. You know, for the Bills, I know they only have 3. I think it was like Micah Hyde. Sean McCoy might be one of them, but I feel like he isn't a power up, and I don't know why. Obviously, he'll get cards, and he has already got a campaign card, but I'm not sure why he's not a power up card. But you know, they only have a couple. I think the Bills only had like 2. They might have had just 2. And maybe it was like Richie Incognito, was the other one. But you know, you might see a Josh Allen, or you might see, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs, they've, you know, obviously everyone sees their offense now and is like, oh, they should have so many more power-ups. But you know, they could have like a Sammy Watkins, or, you know, some of these guys, for example, the Browns could have a Josh Gordon. So obviously he's going to switch teams. And I think that's actually one of the interesting things. I wonder if there's a power-up that switches teams, if his team will become available, at that time as a power-up option. So now, it's not going to matter for Josh Gordon, he wasn't a power-up. But for example, some of those gold cards that, you know, they're high golds. Josh Gordon's is 78 overall, and obviously everyone knows his talent. You know, let's say he goes and gets a, even a team of the week card is 84 overall, and someone wants to upgrade him to 85. You know, it'd be interesting to see what EA does with this power-up promo. If people really start to catch on to it. And, you know, I think one of the interesting things about this, the way that Mutt works now, is the fact that, you know, they're trying to push out more NAT content. I know people are more resistant to it. And, you know, you could almost look at the way that EA looks at the content in those cards versus the way that we do, is obviously very different, because the way that they look at farming and they want a competitive landscape. But you know, it'll be interesting to see what types of things they can do to be able to sort of assuage the pain of being able to not get rid of these cards. And because essentially, you know, you look back to Mutt 16 or, you know, maybe even Mutt 15, you know, you have, if you're looking at almost like a graph format, you have like this, you know, line that's unbroken that sort of shows, you know, if you had like everyone listed along the bottom of that graph, you'd have everyone's cards listed vertically, everyone's cards and coins. And, you know, you really start to see this almost graph form, and it's really what it's, you know, every time there's an NAT content, it's really cutting down on that, and you don't really have that consistent. The market is very fluid in 15 and 16, and what I mean by that is the fact that, you know, if you don't have that many NAT cards, whether that's from completing a set and they become NAT, or, you know, let's say you do Journey solos, and I believe that Carson Wentz is NAT. You know, you do those cards, and maybe he isn't, because I believe there is a set that you can do them for less for badges if you don't want to go through the Journeys. But anyway, you know, however it is that you get NAT cards, that really starts to cut away, because those cards can only be used by you. And, you know, that cuts away the fluidity of the market, because essentially back in 15 and 16, if every single card is not NAT and every single card is able to be auctioned and traded, and I realize not NAT is a double negative, but if every card is able to be auctioned and traded, then it makes a very fluid base of cards. Every card could potentially go to every single user, whether that's through coins or through trade. And, you know, of course, if you're not playing the game, you get at Christmas and, you know, you've got 5,000 coins, you trade for a card that's, you know, let's say a 95 overall, you're going to get probably banned if you trade it for a silver. But essentially, it's possible that every single card could belong to every potential user, if you think of it that way. You know, barring bans for you know, illegitimate trading. Every single time a NAT card cuts into the market, it's going to create, instead of that fluid line, that graph that's, you know, got the ups and downs depending on who's got the most cards and who's got the most coins, it's going to cut away at it and become more like a bar graph, where every single person is isolated and siloed. So, you know, the coins that you earn, and the cards that you earn, are only going to be able to be used by you. So obviously you can use your coins on any cards that are on the market, but the more NAT content that comes in, the more and more of a solo game you're playing. So obviously you can use your coins on packs, but let's say Mutt 15, every single card was not NAT. Let's say Mutt 20, every card was NAT. So, you know, you're getting a really siloed game where, and by the way, I hope this doesn't happen, but, you know, every single time that you get a card, the only way that you can get cards, and there are some YouTubers that play this way, is by buying packs. So, It's a very isolating game. It's a very solo type of game. So obviously, you know, let's say that you can still play other players, but you can't trade. You can't go to the auction house and auction off cards. What you get in your packs is what you get, and that's what you have to deal with. That's obviously not going to happen. That would destroy the game mode. One of the points is collecting and trading. That's the whole point that we've done as kids, you know, since Pokemon cards. But, you know, taking a look at the way that digital cards are used and the way that EA is trying to level the battlefield in terms of being able to make it so that people, you know, that farm, you know, maybe can farm, but it's not as great for that person that really wants to play on one account. And I think that the whole reason I set that up in terms of talking about the silos is because the way that the training is working is, and the way that NAT cards are working, and this all goes back to whether or not the kickoff set is worth it, those NAT cards have a lot more value this year. The fact that even though NAT cards are worth less training, the fact that 90 overall is worth 1,100 training, which, you know, can get you Sprinter for one of your players. I believe you have to buy that for every single player. I think I've seen that online. That seems absolutely crazy. So level 30 is going to take 30,000 training. But anyway, so those 90 overall players have a lot of value. because, you know, let's say you're not able to use a guy later on down the line. Now, let's be honest, when you're not able to use a 90 overall player in your lineup, hopefully the way I think about it is it's January, at least. Because the fact that all the players count towards chemistry, I would hope that you would be able to chem up a 90 player and use him as your backup running back, or even your backup's backup running back. You know, be able to use him as a quarterback that's maybe a dual threat, that's able to run rather than just a pocket passer. Be able to do something with those 90 overall cards. I would hope that this year, because of the fact that all 55, I believe it is, players count towards chemistry and could potentially play, whether they're in subsets or whatever it is, I would really, really hope that we're talking about early, you know, maybe late February, early March. But that's just me. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that hopefully those, by that time, the backups are 95s and they're, all their cards are 97 plus. So, you know, these 90 overalls have value. So once again, there's no contracts this year. And I talked about this in, I believe, the roster building podcast. But the fact that there's no contracts means that, you know, even though that person, as soon as you get them, has a quick sale value of 1,100 training, they're going to maintain that quick sale value of 1,100 training all the way through the middle of March. So even if you play them in your roster, so of course a player with a quick sale value last year of 25,000 is going to retain that if you don't use him. Keep him in your binder, he's going to have 25,000 as quick sale value. Obviously his market value is going to go down, but his quick sale value is going to stay the same. But if you play him on your team, his quick sale value goes down last year. This year, because it's training and not coins that your quick sale players for, the training is going to stay the same. And more than just it's training, not coins, the real reason is the fact that there's no contracts. There's no way for EA to measure how often you've used a player and how many training points should be taken off. There's no way for them to measure it. They're just not measuring it. There's no point. They took away contracts and they added training. And in doing so, the training is going to last the entire year. So you can feel free to use these 90 overall cards in the kickoff sets for as long as you want, and then just quick sell them for the exact same coins as you would have got if you quick sold them as soon as you got your 92 overall boss. And I think that's really going to change the way that, I've talked about this before, but I think that's really going to change the fundamental way that people, you know, look at these cards. You know, the fact that, you know, you might, you know, sell a card, or you might, you know, for example, you know, obviously if a card's going down in value, you know, you might put it on the market. But that's, I think, one of the big reasons these limited time cards are keeping their value, is because even though they're value is not a quick sell for training points, is a quick sell for 500,000. And the fact that there's no contracts and that 500,000 never drops below 500,000, go ahead and put them on your team. Because, you know, with these cards, especially if they get down below 600,000, you know, you're talking about, you're not getting that much more value back. You're not losing that much. Because it's, you're 600,000, you're talking about 60,000 coins are going to go to EA. So you're going to get 540 coins if you sell the prime time, if you sell the limited time card, and EA will take 60. You would get 500,000 coins if you held onto the card for 2 months and then sold. So, you know, you get one of these cards that's limited time, at, you know, I would hope that it's one of your best cards, you know, because these cards are pretty rare. There's not that many people that have them. You know, let's say that you're pulling, for example, the Dante Hightower, or let's say that you're pulling the Richard Sherman. Now you're not going to power him up, but you do want to use him. You know, that's your best cornerback for 2 months. Before, you used to say, do I want 2 months of Richard Sherman, or do I want to sell him for 200,000 coins and see if I can pick someone else up with the extra 200,000 coins I get? Because he's selling for 700 now, or he's selling for you know, let's say 600 now, and it's going to go down to 400. It was going to go down to 350 when the market crashes and everyone keeps getting this card. Or you know, there's a new 91 overall cornerback that comes out. Before you used to really have to make that decision, do I want to possibly lose this 200, 250 coins? Or do I want 2 months of Richard Sherman as one of the best cornerbacks in the game and just be able to lock down one side of the field? Now, the way it works now is you're able to just hold on to that card, take your 2 months, take your 3 months of Richard Sherman, where he goes from your number one cornerback to maybe your number two or three, and just quick sell him in December when you need coins for Ultimate Freeze. So in terms of the now, I, by the way, I hate that the fact that it stays at 500,000 because, you know, well, fun. First, I can't get Dante Hightower. And two, you know, these cards are even though they really are a limited time, they're really limited, unavailable, you know. The fact that they're out of packs in 48 hours and the fact that, you know, EA probably has a certain amount that they're going to put in packs, you know, that really, really, there's no way, there's absolutely no way that I'm going to be able to get some of these primetime players. And most people won't. I mean, like, I would say probably 90-95% of the people, unless they pull them, are not going to be able to obtain these limited time cards without emptying their coin count. So I hate that. What I do like is the fact that the training stays the same. So this, I think the biggest thing this year, and it's sort of flying underneath the radar just because of how much content is coming out, is people have almost forgot the fact that there's no contracts, which is weird because that message is so annoying when it keeps saying you have four contracts back as your minimum, do you want to raise it? But it's weird. I think that, you know, it's almost flying underneath the radar of one of the biggest improvements this year is because there's no measure of how many times your guy has played in the game. His value does not go down. So the only thing that we're talking about is the value to other people. And his value to you stays as high as it was day one. So I really think that's one of the fundamental challenges. And that's, you know, for me, you know, if you're taking a look at, I think that if you want to figure out whether or not the kickoff set is worth it, again, I'm circling back and it has taken me 20 plus minutes to make my point, but I will get to it eventually. If the kickoff set is worth it, I think that in terms of if you're someone that wants, you know, let's say we all have Antonio Brown. Everyone has Antonio Brown unless you know, Rage sold him at the beginning of the year because he's 84 speed, which I don't put a pass on people or Pats fans. So if, I'm just kidding, they're, you know, if the Antonio Brown, you already have him powered up, or the Gronk or the Luke Kuechly, and that's the next step in your order to power them up. So you're going to get essentially a 93 instead of a 92. And if there's a primetime performer that you are sort of on the brink of getting, then it really might be worth it for you to look into the set. Because you're talking about essentially, let's go back to the beginning of the conversation where I said it's about 800,000 coins. You're getting about one free 90 overall. And that brings it down to about 600,000 coins, and a few other golds. So, you know, let's say it's, you know, 575 or so. So it took about 575 for, a 93 overall player and then a 92 or 91, depending on, which limited time card you have. I think most of them are 92s, if you power them up. They're 91s, and then if you power them up, they're 92s. So, 92 and a 93 overall card for about 575,000, which, honestly, in the market right now, you can't get. Now, the downside of that is, you know, you're locked into these two cards for the rest of the year. So, I think in terms of the way you have to answer the kickoff set and if it's worth it, in terms of the coins, I think right now, it's probably not worth it. Now, you could just hold on to those 90s, and then later on, probably the best way to do it is to hold on to those 90 overalls. You know, you get left end, You get a running back who is better than Saquon Barkley if you have done the rookie premier set. A quarterback and a cornerback that are all 90s. Should be some of the best cards on your team. Should make your lineup. It might be best to just hold on to them because there's such a spread of players. And thank goodness they didn't put out a wide receiver. But I could have used a lineman. But an offensive lineman. But, you know, there's a pretty good spread of players. It might make sense to get that 92 overall. Hold on to him. And then, as long, you know, you can also sell him too, but, you know, 92 overall, hold on to him and then just wait, you know, honestly, like I said, you know, it's not like that training values go down. So just try those players out. See if there's any that you like, because maybe you'll sell three of them, quick sell three of them, and then hold on to that fourth player and use some of your own training, to get that, limited time player. Then, of course, you don't have to get the limited time player. You could just use, you know, whoever you want, and just upgrade them. So it's really up to you, what you want to do. I don't think the set's worth it unless you really have a plan like that, where you're going to use that training. You got to be able to use that training. You could have a plan for it, because of course it's going to take you a long way. It's 4,400 training. But you know, really you want to be able to have a plan for why you're spending that amount of coin this early in the year. So again, it's 600,000. I mean, I think a lot of people, depending on where you're at, may not have that, or that's going to eat through at least half of the coin stack. So you really want to have a plan for why you're going to use over 500,000 coins for those cards. Again, if you sell that 92 overall, you'll probably break pretty close to even. I don't know exactly what they're going for, but if you do, you know, you're able to get a couple golds that you know, maybe it's not 575,000, maybe it's 550, or if you're lucky, 500. I know you might break pretty close to even, but if you're not, you really want to have a reason for why you're using that many coins. I want to talk about, so there are a few things that I actually... I'm right about 32 minutes now. I do want to talk about a couple of quick things. I got some questions in, but I do want to talk about the format for future weeks. So I'm going to talk a little about the any Mutt news that came out. So, you know, if there's a new promo, new cards, new things, like, you know, if there's an interview on another podcast or something that's of interest and newsworthy, then we'll definitely touch on that. I'll talk about the main subject. You know, for a lot of times I may have, like, you know, may just not be a huge subject, but for this one, obviously, it would be, you would think of it as the contracts and how much value getting rid of the contracts has really held for the game. I'm going to do something called Card Wars. So, what it is essentially, and I really want you guys help with this because I'm going to be putting out some Twitter polls, but we're going to go head to head in terms of two different cards. So, you know, you might take, you know, for example, like the Julian Edelman campaign card versus the free Antonio Brown that you got in the beginning of Mutt. So essentially what it is going to be two guys from the same position. You know, they're going to be essentially about the same level. So Edelman, well, powered up, he's at 88. And then Antonio Brown's at 89. So about the same overall. And we'll talk about which card is better. So... they don't have to be similar players, so it could be, for example, Antonio Brown versus Randy Moss. Obviously Moss is better, but you know, it could be a guy that's got some height to him compared to a guy that's got some speed to him. So we'll go back and forth. You know, I'll have you guys be able to pick some of the cards sometimes. You know, you can also once I give my opinion, you can also tell me whether or not I'm right. I'll put out a poll, and you guys can answer whether or not you would pick one card or the other. What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to start recording my solo battles and try and get all 13 solo battles. And the reason I'm doing this is, and I'm also going to touch on that, and if I do head-to-head. So I actually haven't done head-to-head this year, which is, it seems a little crazy for me, even for someone that does solo. But for me, it just, I haven't needed to. So I'm going to do... talk about the solo battles I had in the past week. I won't talk for long. What I'm going to do is, and they're all going to be done on Ultimate. And you can, I'm going to try and record them all so that people can watch them. And I'll probably put a couple of them out there maybe. But essentially the reason being is because I want to start testing some things and being able to give you guys some good insight in terms of what works, what zones work, what plays work. I'm not going to do like the mid blitz and just trying to shut out the computer. I'm going to play it like a real game, play it like I'm actually playing against an opponent. So I can hopefully give you guys some real insight in terms of what's working, what players are working, what zones, what level zone you need to get to, what speed you need, if guys that, you know, maybe are a slow wide receiver, but, you know, have really good catching, if they're worth it, if they're going to be able to get away from people. We'll talk about, you know, so I talked about the Twitter poll. I'll give last week's results. I'll send a new Twitter poll, and I'll tell you what that is on the podcast. And then the last part is the mailbag. So questions from last week, how to contact and send questions as well. So I want to get through a couple of these. There is a question about how come Cover 6 and Cover 9 are still broken. From what I've heard is that they were trying to fix Cover 4. And the fact that Cover 4 won't cover guys going deep, that's pretty pathetic. But they fixed that. They got the responses back that it works. And I know people are saying, well, it's still broken. They're doing Cover 6 and Cover 9. One of the things you can do is you can actually click to guard the sticks. I think it's the left bumper. And that's really going to help you out if you're in Cover 6 or Cover 9. My suggestion would just be to not be in those at this point. And, you know, maybe in a rare occasion, man is pretty good. So you can also mix in some man there if you want to do some different things. Mix in some Cover 3 blitzes. Next question is, I got a question about what's the deal with the solo battles. They obviously weren't available for the first couple weeks. The thing is, it's because it's a new mode. I think it's something where they're just trying something out, and it's still in the process. I think we need to remember it's still in the process of being refined, and in the way that the servers work is not always perfect, but, you know, I think they're getting it right. You know, definitely go do those. Even if you don't do solo battles, there are a couple of solos out there that are worth like 10,000 coins. Altogether, there's four of them that are worth 45,000 coins. So even if you're a head-to-head player, I would definitely do those for the amount of coins you get. I got a question about why are jukes and spins not that effective? I myself have experienced this. I have Saquon Barkley, and it does not seem like he jukes anyone or spins anyone out, which is very frustrating when I, you know, this week watched the Sunday Night Football game, and literally the only reason for watching that game is to watch Saquon get the ball swung out to him, break three tackles, and still only pick up 5 yards. But, you know, the fact that he can spin and juke and make people miss is very tough when, you know, in Mutt, I'm just having a lot of trouble. The one thing I can say is I know that there have been a couple of people that have touched on it. Now, no one's elaborated, and I'll try and get these numbers for you. But there are, I believe, spin and juke thresholds. So everyone is, you know, remembers the vaunted thresholds of zone last year. There are spin and juke thresholds. And Saquon, what I've heard, and, you know, this is a concern going in from most people, is that he's a balanced back. And balanced backs, the problem with them is that they don't hit the spin or juke thresholds. They don't have great juke. They don't have good spin. I would say that a guy like Saquon actually has better juke. So I would go on the Mutthead, try and figure out what actually he does really well. So either he spins or either he jukes really well. So what are the most rewarding solos besides the four that I just mentioned? They're obviously the most rewarding. I would say the campaign is what most people are saying. The campaigns are the most rewarding solos. Journey, I think it really depends on what you get for pulls. So there's 173 of them. That's a lot. It really depends on what you get for pulls. The team diamonds actually give you a decent amount of team pack. So if you're looking for a particular player, especially if you know that there's a limited time card that came out, you might want to try the team diamonds. I think even the kickoff solos, if they don't expire, I think those are actually really good. Now, you know, you're going to get gold NAT players, but really, those players, you're going to get a lot of 82 to 84s and 86 to 88s. Those players are even though the NAT, you know, they're worth it this time of the year. And again, because of the training, like we touched on a few minutes ago, the training, I'm not going to go back to it. The training is really great because it never goes down. So that is all. I mean, if you guys have more questions, I would definitely send them in. You can send them to at Gecko Gaming on Twitter or GeckoGaming06@gmail.com. Those are the best ways to get in contact with me. I will put out a Twitter poll for, I'm going to try and find two guys to do card battles. That's going to be the first Twitter poll. So definitely feel free to vote on that if you do want to have your opinion heard. On who I go head to head with, and then we'll follow up the next week with whoever I do the card battles against. Do you think that I was correct? So thanks for listening, guys. Like I mentioned at the very beginning, please subscribe, please write a review if you're have 2 free minutes, please give us a 5-star review. I will be talking to you guys, if all goes well, maybe a little bit later this week. Thanks again for listening.